High School Scoreboard Live at midnight. That would be Greg Tepper. Tep, how are you today?
Oh, I'm just wonderful. It's rainy in DFW and gross. I don't know why I said I was wonderful then. Like, normally my mood is pretty closely tied to the weather. But I guess the reason I'm wonderful is that because we got football tonight. And as long as we got football tonight, generally speaking, I'll be in a pretty happy mood.
Hey, explain to people, if they're not a subscriber to Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, and why wouldn't they be? But if they aren't, here's further reason for it. We just had Drew Sanders on our weekly conversation with Coach Sanders. And, of course, they have the game tonight, taking on Cedar Ridge, the radio broadcast on 101.9 and AM 1260 here from our building. But there is a watch party of sorts for this game tonight. Can you explain that to folks a little bit?
Sure. So for those who may not know, we've recently acquired Texan Live, the streaming service. And so we are now, we've streaming games across the state, you know, Houston, Austin, DFW, all reaches of the state. And one of the things that we like to do is give you guys a little bit of tease. We'll give you a reason to subscribe, show you what we've got. And so tonight, live for free, you can watch. You don't even have to be a subscriber. You just be to tune in on our YouTube page or on our Facebook page or on our Twitch page. And we are going to be streaming live the Austin Vandegrift versus Cedar Ridge game tonight, which is obviously going to be a great game. The wrinkle we're going to throw into it is that, and I guess maybe the cost that you have to pay, is that you have to listen to me yammer on, because we're going to have special commentary from myself, from Ishmael Johnson, one of our editors, from Ashley Pickle, of course, from Valley Sports Southwest, as well as here at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. And two very special guests will be joined in studio by the head coach of the West Mesquite Wranglers, Coach Frank Sandoval, who, of course, coached under Joey McGuire at Cedar Hill before going to his first head coaching job at Mejia, did great things there. Now he's at West Mesquite. We will also be joined in studio by the head coach of the Southlake Carroll Dragons, Coach Riley Dodge, will be joining us, giving him his so finally, the correct answer to the correct response to this is, oh, fine, good. Finally, someone who knows something about football. And so if you want to get the kind of commentary, think of it like, you know, we like to think that the Manning cast kind of stole our idea.
Yeah.
Think of it like the Manning cast, except it's me and Ish and Pickle and also two pretty darn good high school football coaches.
So it's a watch-along, kind of like also, I guess, what ESPN does that with the national championship games. They have all those coaches in there just kind of watching and commenting on the game. And so you're going to have Frank Sandoval, and you're going to have Riley Dodge just kind of sitting in, watching the game with you guys, commenting on this Vandegrift Cedar Ridge game tonight.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're going to get a little bit of insights as to what these coaches are thinking when they're watching games like this. I'm also, I think that this is a pretty good thing here, because a pretty good kind of matchup, because obviously the game's pretty good and it's important, but also these two coaches. Don't really have any connection to these two programs, right? With Vandegrift and Cedar Ridge, and so they're going to be going in there, and you want to talk about they're on their open date, which is why they're available on a Thursday night. But the thing is that they're going to be able to go in here, kind of watch a game stress free, like they don't have to, you know, like for example, like let's be honest, if we were doing the Westlake and Hayes game tonight, right? Then I think that one of our participants may have a particular. I don't want to say affected interest in it, but, you know, we may have a little bit of extra juice in the game there. This is kind of, it's very rare, I think, to get coaches completely out of their, with just out of their element, watching a game that really has, in many respects, nothing to do with either of their football teams. They can just sit back and kind of be football fans. And so I'm interested in picking their brains during the game. And, of course, we'll have the usual nonsense that you've come to expect from our crew.
Yeah, you know what? I think, I don't know about you, but I think that I have heard from more coaches say they have watched more televised high school football this year than perhaps ever before. And then, of course, last year it was all open, but to watch via the UIL's ruling that you could do it, live telecast, live streaming, all that, whatever night of the week it was, because of the pandemic. This year, things are much more back to normal, so folks, I think, are dabbling more into the Thursday nights or the streaming, which is still allowed. Have you heard a lot from coaches saying they're watching a lot of televised games more than they have?
Yes, I have heard that from not only coaches, but also I think just fans. And I think that one of the things, and you and I have had lengthy discussions about this, about how you know, with high school football, I think it's important to remember that I think that this is a sport, and if you want to consider high school football a brand, it's a brand with a lot of growth potential. That I think that people, I think that when people watch high school football, they really like it, right? I think that when people go and everyone, you know, whenever it's Galena Park North Shore versus Duncanville in the state championship game, and you've been hearing all about it on the news all week, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to sit down and watch it. Pretty much everybody comes away saying, like, I'm really glad I sat down and watched that game. There's a lot of growth potential here in Texas high school football, and I think that what you're seeing from the UIL after last year with their with loosening the restrictions for the pandemic and now kind of keeping the restrictions relatively loose, you know, this year, I think that what they're realizing is, yeah, you know, we can help to grow the sport. We can make this a bigger deal, and that rising tide is going to raise all boats. And I think that that's what you're seeing. I think that, you know, the real thing that I think Texas high school football can go and achieve is a big group of neutral fans. And what I mean by that is, think about like the NFL, okay? The NFL has, yes, of course, you've got a ton of Cowboy fans. You got a ton of Steeler fans. You got a ton of Rams fans, right? But also on Sunday night, whenever it is the Jets and the Panthers, you're still going to have a lot of those Cowboys and Steelers and Rams fans tuning in. And I think that that's what I think that's what is a potential and really exciting about the future of Texas high school football is I do think that there's that growth because the quality and you know, it all starts because, as you well know, the product's so good.
Yeah.
You and I have been in on the ground, have understood this for quite a while. The product's just really fun. If you get into it, you're just going to have a good time watching it. I think more and more people are realizing that, and I think that that is ultimately going to be pretty good for the sport. So that's a long answer to a short question, which is, yeah, I think that we have heard a lot of people who are tuning in to games that maybe they don't have a vested interest in, and I think that that is really the future of the sport and growing it in a sustainable way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And by the way, just for the record, I think I'm the only Rams fan in the state of Texas, but that's okay. You know,
so we just actually, hold on. Let me correct you because, as you know, my wife is from St. Louis.
Oh, that's so right. Okay.
Now she doesn't follow the Rams as closely, but she still holds a place in their heart because they still got the same logo. So
yeah, and they're one Super Bowl title there from the '99 mm-hmm. season. That's for sure. Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, our guest here as we talk high school football every Thursday. Okay, we like to play games with our respective appearances on one another's shows, and so I just kind of like to think of it kind of as a rapid fire and what we do. So. This is a little bit of a rapid fire. I'm going to read to you. I did this 3 weeks ago. I'm going to do it again. Unbeaten records. And I want you to tell me who's the most impressive of these unbeaten teams and who is the most surprising. Okay? 6A, I'm just rolling right down your top 25 list. Westlake, Katy, Southlake Carroll, Denton Guyer, Spring Westfield, Brennan from the north side of San Antonio, Cibolo Steel, Cy Park, Louisville, Vandegrift, C.E. King from Houston, Smithson Valley. Those are all unbeatens in your top 25 through six or seven games, depending on how many they played to this point. Who is the most impressive? Who is the most surprising?
The most impressive team in the state remains Westlake. That remains, in my opinion, the understandable, locked and loaded number one team in the state. I have essentially no notes for them. You know, I've watched a fair amount of their contest, and I don't, you know, one of the things is I'm really glad I'm not a coach, and I'm certainly not glad I'm not a coach that has to play Westlake, because I don't, in watching them, one of the questions that I just have is, where do you attack them? Like, where's their weakness? Every team has it, right? Every team has something that they do not as well as the other things, but where do you attack Westlake? And that's something I just really haven't found. Now, it may manifest itself, right? And I think that what you're going to see, you know, the news that you broke on your show, about Cade Klubnik being out for, you know, probably being held out this week with an injury. Doesn't sound like it's super serious, more precautionary. Let's make sure we get it right. That, to me, is the first chink in the armor. And it feels like the kind of thing that the only way that it feels like they're only a major injury away from being, you know, from then suddenly becoming mortal. But that seems like the team that is the most impressive. As far as the biggest surprise, you've got a few options there. I think C.E. King is a big surprise, although one of the things is that we'll find out literally the next 2 weeks exactly how real they are. Because this week they get Atascocita, and next week they get North Shore. Even if they split those, right, I think that would be one of the most impressive splits that you could possibly have. But if they were to go and get one of those two wins, then they would certainly be serious. But I think Derek Fitzhenry's done an outstanding job there. They are certainly a team that's surprising. You know, I think people may be screaming at their radio, what about Cy Park? What about Cy Park? They're a surprise-ish, but I'll also be honest. I think we kind of had an idea they could be this good. Maybe not this good, maybe not top 20 good, but this Cy Park team, even though they are young, they are extremely explosive. They get Bridgeland this week. Bridgeland may or may not be with Connor Wigman. He was out last week in their loss to Cy Ranch. But I don't know if it matters, quite honestly. I think Cy Park may be the best team in that district there in Cy Fair IC, and that's certainly saying something. They could qualify as a surprise maybe in the grander scheme of things.
Okay. In your 5A D1 poll, the only unbeatens are College Station, Corpus Christi Vets Memorial, and Katy Peyto. There's only three unbeatens left in your top 10. Doesn't mean there aren't real good teams, including the number one team in the state, defending state champion Denton Ryan, who's 6-1. But of the three, who's the most impressive and who's the biggest surprise?
I'm just going to keep it. I know it's kind of a cop out to keep taking the top ranked team here, but I'm going to keep banging the drum for College Station until everybody listens. Okay. Because in region two, and I might've said this on Scoreboard, in region two, everyone's talking about Highland Park. They're talking about Denton Ryan. They're talking about Longview. They're talking about, Frisco Lone Star, all these teams. And here's College Station, who's just going out there and they are pummeling people. They're grinding people into a paste. And it feels like nobody's sitting up and paying attention. Maybe it's because they're outside of a major metro area, unlike pretty much every other team that I mentioned, maybe outside of Longview. But this is what they have got cooking there, and what Steve Huff has got cooking there with his son at the quarterback spot, Jet Huff. We got playmakers all over the field. I think College Station's legit. I think College Station might win the darn state championship. They're that good. They're really, really talented. That would be the team that probably looks the most impressive right now. As far as the team that, let's just say that they are, the team that is most surprising at undefeated. Peyto would be an obvious choice there, but there may be a couple of other teams that are maybe unranked, if I can break the rules of the game, that are a little bit surprising. I think Buda Johnson is a team that I think is undefeated 6-0. They are a little bit surprising in that regard. Magnolia West kind of falls in the same category. Dripping Springs, maybe. Although I think we thought Dripping Springs had a chance to be really good, but their offense has really lit a fire under them. I would say that of the top 10 teams, it would probably be Katy Peyto is the most surprising. But at the same time, I also think that's a team that much like Cy Park, it's just a matter of they don't have the history or the brand recognition, so to speak, name recognition, and that's what sets them apart. But 5A Division I. Feels like it's going to be a real fun when the brackets come out.
Safe to say we're all eagerly anticipating down the road the matchup between Drip and Buda Johnson.
Oh my gosh, yes. I'm sign me up. Sign me up. Give me a ticket. Give me a front row seat. I am really, really excited about that matchup.
Visiting with Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. All right, we move it to 5AD2. Out of the top 10, and there are more unbeatens in this one. In fact, the vast majority of the schools ranked are unbeaten, including number 1 Aledo, number 2 Fort Bend Marshall, number 3 Lovejoy, number 4 Ennis, number 7 Texas High of Texarkana, number 8 Wichita Falls Rider, number 9 Frisco, and number 10 Alamo Heights. Again, the question, Tep, who has been most impressive? Who is the biggest surprise of those unbeatens?
The most impressive team here, and this may shock you guys, but it's been Lovejoy. Lovejoy has been great, and flying under the radar, I think, kind of in many respects in the shadow of Aledo, simply because Aledo is this big behemoth. They're going to win their 100th consecutive district game this week, which is, it's absurd on its face. It's just an absurd stat what they're going to do. But Lovejoy has been absolutely clobbering people. Their offense has been great. I don't need to tell people down there what kind of defense Chris Ross has got going there. This is a really, really impressive team. Now, 2 weeks from now, they get Frisco, and there's your big boy, get on your big boy britches matchup, and we'll learn a lot about them. But so far, I think Lovejoy has maybe been the most impressive undefeated team. The real surprise here, and I'm going to go a little bit off the board here and may surprise some people, I think the surprise here is Wichita Falls Rider. And the reason why, and they've got a huge game this week against Lubbock Cooper. This is not a joke. This is their seventh meeting in the last 3.5 years between Lubbock Cooper and Rider. But Rider, if you remember, they got absolutely wiped by graduation. Their senior class was so impressive and so integral to what they were able to do. And all of those guys, most notably Jacob Rodriguez, the quarterback, is gone. They are off to many of them to the next level, but they're gone. And we had big questions as to whether or not Mark Bendel is going to reload. Well, they have reloaded, and they have looked every bit the part of a regional contender. We'll find out a lot about them tomorrow night against Lubbock Cooper, and then another big game down the road at Canyon Randall. But yeah, I think if you're talking about which teams I didn't necessarily see coming in 5A Division II, I had big questions about Ryder, and Wichita Falls Ryder has answered the bell in a big way.
Okay, so if I heard you correctly, you said it's when Lovejoy plays Frisco. Now, that's next week, right? Week from this Friday, mm-hmm. I think I saw. All right, so at least you got that. And then on the 29th is when you're going to have the Buta Johnson drip game. And possibly also, by the way, you could have Cuero against Smithville for a district title in 4AD2. That's kind of interesting, I think, for folks down in these parts.
And if you talk about surprises, I think Smithville's on my list, and I know they're not undefeated. They've got the one loss on the year early in the season when they lost to Yoakum, which, by the way, is a loss that's aged pretty darn well, I'd say. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about a team that I have been really surprised by, it's the Tigers of Smithville and what Coach Atkins has done there. Last week, for a lot of programs, I mean, they've got the win over Columbus, which is impressive. They've got a win, a win over a couple of 5A teams. Admittedly, not amazing ones. The San Antonio Highlands is not lunch meat. But then last week, when they went to Navasota and they beat Navasota by 22, there are a lot of programs where that's a program maker win to go on the road to. And I know Navasota is not the juggernaut that they've been in the past couple of years. But I'll tell you that I think that's a huge win, and they're going to be really, really tough to stop, specifically if that offense continues humming in the way that it's been going lately. I mean, I'm very impressed with what Coach Atkins has done, and you're right. I think they're going to be favored their next 2 weeks, and then you're right. October 29th, mark your calendars, they're at Cuero, and we'll learn a lot about Cyril Atkins and Tigers.
You asked me on your program who I would pick for number one team in the state in 4A, if I could just do it and just absolutely pick one. You still have LBJ number one. You've got a fast-rising Stephenville at number two, and then the other unbeatens in the top 10 are Kaufman at 7-0, and that's the only other unbeaten there in 4A Division I. So I have a feeling I know who your biggest surprise is going to be. How about your most impressive?
Yeah, I think it's been, it's tough. It's very similar to the conversation that we have about with who's number one in Stephenville and LBJ. Those are kind of co-most impressive teams. And look, to pull back the curtain on how we do the Dave Campbell Texas Football Associated Press rankings, on Sunday we kind of all huddle up, digitally and then start discussing the rankings. And I'll be honest, this week the number one spot in 4A Division I was more or less split among the Dave Campbell's Texas football staff. There were some of us that thought that Stephenville should be number one. There are some of us that thought that LBJ should be number one. In the end, we ended up going with LBJ because, in a lot of respects, because they haven't really done anything to deserve to drop. But Stephenville, you're right, fast rising. And a team that we had a feeling could be pretty good, but had some real important questions to answer. Most notably, who's going to throw the ball? And are they going to be able to play any sort of defense? And they have answered both of those questions emphatically, shouting from the rooftops, yes, we can. Quarterback Ryder Lambert's been fantastic. His connection with Coy Aiken, their wide receiver, is one of the best in the state at any level. And then on the other side, the defense, Reese Young had 25 tackles last week against La Vega. I mean, that's big boy stuff. I mean, they have been really impressive defensively. And yeah, I think that right now, here's the thing, is we may not ever know who should be number one in the sense that unless these two teams are able to meet in a state championship game, then we would kind of have that. But right now, where we sit here on October 14th, it sure feels like Austin, LBJ, and Stephenville are co-number ones in 4A Division I. It's that close. I mean, we're talking razor's edge type stuff. The kind of game that you threw them onto a neutral site field to play, and I think I think it comes down to the final play. It's really that close. And LBJ's been awfully impressive in their own right. So this is it's a really tough call for us, and it's probably only going to get even tougher.
Probably not a tough call for you on who's number one in 4A D2, and probably no surprise there. And it's kind of hard to talk about Carthage in terms of most impressive, isn't it? I mean, they played five games. They had a game canceled, but they're unbeaten. China Spring is 6-0. Belleville, who I've been really high on all year long, is 6-0. And Vandal, the Vandals of Van, is 6-0. So you have Van and Belleville and China Spring and Carthage. So is it by default that Carthage is the most impressive? Simply because they're Carthage?
I don't think it is. And I'll be honest. For the first time in what feels like a million years, I actually have a couple of criticisms for Carthage. I think that their offense is still kind of finding its way. Their offensive line is still figuring things out. They're still trying to decide on a quarterback. Now, look, it hasn't mattered because, A, they've won every game they've played, and, B, their defense has been absolutely sensational. I mean, I'm just not sure. So last week they opened up district, I want to say, against Poor Center, and they beat them 64-18. I am fairly certain that was a lot of those points were in garbage time. I'm just not sure that a 4A Division II team is going to be able to score more than 14 points against them. I'm not sure. I think that defense is that good, and that's why they're holding them in, even in the absence of that usual Scott Surratt juggernaut offense. They're not a perfect team. But the things that they do well, they do so well that it kind of doesn't matter that they have a couple of flaws, and that's something that's really impressive. As far as the most surprising, I might go with a team like Belleville. That's a team that we've really started to fall in love with here at Dave Campbell's Texas Football, because they are running the ball exceptionally well. That defense has been fantastic, and by the way, they've got a couple of really nice wins under their belt. They basically won the Battle of the Bell. They've beaten both Cameron Yeo and Rockdale. Those are 2-3-A teams, but two teams I think are on the rise. That win over West Columbia a couple weeks ago I think is impressive, as West Columbia's only loss in the year. I've got big tests ahead, especially this week against Sealy, and then they're going to have to find their way through a very difficult Region 3, which will include the aforementioned Carthage Bulldogs at some point. But I think that Belleville's probably been the bigger surprise here, a team that, again, has probably exceeded our expectations, at least for now. And if they beat Sealy this week, then they're probably cruising towards a 10-0 regular season.
Okay. All right. Since we're up against it, let me just, again, lightning round off the top of your head. Most eagerly anticipated game for you this week is?
Oh, we share it. It's Winthorst and Munster.
Yep.
In fact, you can even remove this week. I think this is the game that I've been most looking forward to for about a month. I think Winthorst and Munster is going to be a lot of fun. Two great defenses, two of the very best, I think, pound-for-pound defenses in the state. I think it's going to be a lot of fun out there in Cook County. And there's going to be, I think it's going to be a low scoring slugfest, which is my kind of football. And they're going to be, and by the way, there's a fair chance that these two teams see each other twice. They did last year. Winthorst won both of them en route to a state championship. Can Munster get a little bit of revenge tomorrow night is a big question. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be. Follow Tepper at Tepper there. And you can also catch him tonight with the viewing party, along with Riley Dodge and Frank Sandoval. They watch Vandegrift and Cedar Ridge tonight. You can do that. And then, of course, catch him tomorrow as well on Football Friday with Aaron Hartigan at 7 o'clock, and then Scoreboard Live with Rick Renner and me. Hey, appreciate the time as always, Tep. Looking forward to it.
All right, pal. See you tomorrow.
You bet. All right. That's Greg Tepper, managing editor, Dave Campbell's Texas Football.